Okay. Fine. So the issue that we'll take up first in this this sugya is the issue of coercion. So the Gemara tells this story that first it says memashkenin ala tzedaka, that you can take people's money as collateral to force them to give tzedaka. Vafil ber Shabbat. And then it tells the story that Rava once forced Rav Natan bar Ami and took 400 zuz of tzedaka from him. Right? So this is in the middle of our broader discussion about the government collecting funds for the poor and the discussions of us being able to use coercive means for that. Right, that was right at the beginning, la'asiyal kitzatan, that the people who violate the guild rules or the city rules, we can punish them. So the Gemara tells this story about that happening with tzedaka. So what is the problem that plagues all the Rishonim on this sugya? For even to what degree? Yeah, thank you. How can you coerce tzedaka? I mean, the Gemara seems to indicate that we are coercing tzedaka. How can we do that? And what's the Gemara's problem? What's the Rishonim's problem? Why don't they think that you should be able to coerce tzedaka? Very good. So the Gemara in Chulin tells us the following, that there is a principle which you may find disturbing, which is called kofin al mitzvah aseh. Now, kofin is not the same as punishing. Punishing is after the fact, right? If whatever, take a name, I don't know, if Jack eats pig and there are witnesses, Yaakov and Yonatan see him about to eat pig and they say, Jack, you should know that if you eat pig, then you have violated a law, you have violated a negative prohibition in the Torah, and the punishment is lashes, and he says, Almanat kena niyose, I know, with full knowledge of what that entails, I am going to eat the pig. So then, Yonatan and Yaakov bring him to Beis Din. The Beis Din is made up of, I don't know, whoever wants to be on the Beis Din. They testify, and if the testimony is accepted, so then you, right, take a whip, right, and you beat him, right, a maximum of 39 times, or as many times as he can handle, up to the rounded down to the number which is divisible by 3, so that you can split them evenly with a 2/3, 1/3 split on his back versus his stomach, right? Okay? That is what it is. The end of Mako tells you. That is punishment. But when it comes, yes? Before. They get doctors and they say, how much do you think you can handle? And then they round down to the divisible by 3. If they see that he's dying, they stop. If he dies by accident, no, they don't. And if he dies by accident during, it's not the fault of the Shleach Beis Din, because what can he do? Fine. But that's for a lotaseh. But what about an aseh? So an aseh, if you don't perform an aseh, is there any punishment in court? No. But if someone refuses to perform a mitzvah aseh, Jack, not only does he like eating pig, but he doesn't like taking the lulav. And he doesn't like saying Shema. And so then what's the halacha? Kofin oto ad sheteitzei nafsho. Yep. You beat him until he does it or expires. Yeah. Right? No. No. You beat him within an inch of his life. Right? Well, yeah. Kofin, we coerce. But the Gemara in Chulin tells us a story. What's the story in the Gemara in Chulin, or what's the case the Gemara in Chulin introduces? Right. Yes. Yes, that there indeed is. Well, okay, what is the definition of mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, according to the Gemara? Ezu kibud, machelu, mashkeu, mavisho. Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara tells you the story that there was a person who would not honor his father and mother. So what did they do? Yeah, well, they tied him up to beat him. And what did Rami Bar Tamri say to them? Leave him alone. Not because we don't beat people to perform mitzvot. We're totally fine with that. The Gamre, right? But this mitzvah, we don't. Why not? Delineates the reward in the Torah itself. So it's as if God is saying, look, I'm taking care of this. So God doesn't want to take the mitzvah, so he won't get my reward. You don't have to deal with it. Right? That's Rashi's very simple analysis of this. Okay. Yes, Ezra. What are they? Mila and Karban Pesach.
So in that case, would you...
Yes.
But that logic that Rashi gave applied there as well. So why didn't it make sense?
I'm not sure. I'll look around. Okay. So Tosus's problem is, right? It's a good question. I think about it. So Tosus says what? Tosus says, well, here's the problem. If you look at the psukim, what do the psukim say? Good. So the Torah delineates a reward for the mitzvah of tzedakah. Now, Gavi noted to me and say there, is that really true, Gavi? It's not totally clear that that's true. Because it sounds like the reward is specifically not necessarily for giving tzedakah, but for having the right attitude when you give tzedakah, right? So you could challenge this entire understanding and say that this is not a matan tzedakah b'tid. A matan tzedakah b'tid isn't for the giving of the tzedakah. It's for the attitudes. It's for other things. But the giving of the tzedakah doesn't have matan tzedakah b'tid. That's not the answer to Tosfos, but we can come back to the answer. But let's hold it, okay? But this is the question that everyone wants to deal with. Okay? So, before we actually read Tosfos, what do you think? Right? Assume that we have this rule of, we have this rule of, sucker. We have this rule that kol mitzvah seisha matan schara bitzida ain kofen alav. And then we have this story in our Gemara that they in fact coerced, right? Rava in fact coerced. Who was it? One second, Rav Nathan Bar Ami to give tzedakah. So you can quote answers from Tosfos, but if I ask you logically, how would you deal with this question? Right? What are the logical possibilities? coercion. Those are not the same thing. Okay. What prohibition? Who said there's a prohibition on coercion? Okay, good. So, good. But let's start figuring it out, right? Is that the Gemara in Chulin clearly says that there are certain things which are, right, exceptions to the rule of, being able to coerce. Staka seems to fit that rule. In the end, it's not. So, okay. You can give me answers of Tostos, but let's start thinking about it, right? What? Okay. Good. Someone wants to throw their hat in the ring. Good. Gavi.
So,
isn't at all matan schar betzida, right? It's the attitude which is matan schar betzida, but not the mitzvah, right? So far we've seen two answers, right? We've seen the re, which we understood in one of two ways, right? The re said the reason you can coerce is because there are lavim present, which we either said is you're coercing on the prohibition, which seems strange, or the existence of the prohibition to bolster the assay transforms into a super assay, and that's why you can be kofe. Or Gavi's formulation, like Rulachunstein, which is, no, staka is not a matan schar betzida. What's unique about staka is that in addition to the maaseh mitzvah, you have an added command to avoid bad attitudes. And for that added emotional challenge, God promises you extra reward. But the giving of staka itself is a run-of-the-mill mitzvah, and doesn't have matan schar betzida, and can be coerced. Yes, Yonatan Ezra. It's possible that the attitude is not just about not giving begrudgingly, but is giving, giving b'shefa, right? Giving more. It's possible, right? It's possible that you could read it that way. It's possible. Right? It's definitely possible. Okay, but that's two possibilities. Okay? Both of these possibilities share something in common, which is that they think fundamentally you can coerce on staka. Right? That the conclusion of our sugya is that you indeed can coerce on staka. Right? That is, right, both versions that we've just read, both the versions of the Re and Gavi / Rav Lichtenstein, both assume that limaskana, you can coerce on staka. Okay? That's two answers. Okay. What else might be going on here? And I don't bind you just to Tosfos' answers. If there are answers you already thought of that we haven't seen yet, that's fine. I just didn't want to overwhelm you with Makarot. But good. Ezra, tell me, theoretically, how else could you answer this? That's fine. Say that again? Yeah. All right, yeah. Okay. Okay. So let me broaden what you said. Okay. So Ezra says, methodologically speaking, okay. Well, let's take a step back and talk methodologically what we're doing. Okay. We have a seeming stira. Our Gemara tells us to coerce. The Gemara in Chulin says you can't matan schar betzida. So possibility one is, despite the fact that it's matan schar betzida, this is an exception to the rule, right? Who says that? Possibly the Re. Possibility two is, this isn't matan schar betzida. Who says that? Gavi, right? You're very humble, Gavi, but you didn't know Rav Lichtenstein said it, so you get to claim credit for it too. Yes, Gavi and Rav Lichtenstein both independently, okay? So methodologically speaking, right, you can either say, right, let's just think methodologically, right, you have one sugya that says we are coercing staka, another sugya says you can't for matan schar betzida. So possibility one is, accept both premises,
that you can coerce for tzedakah, and that it's matan tzara b'tzida, but call it an exception. Right? That's three. But methodologically, what else, what are the more likely ways of solving the problem? It's not matan tzara b'tzida, or this is not kviya. Right? Right? Those are the two, right? Those are the two main methodological directions, right? The re is actually fascinating because the re says, no, no, it really is matan tzara b'tzida, right? And it really is kviya, but it's an exception. But the easier logical directions are to reject either assumption one or two, right? Which is either we can force for tzedakah or tzedakah is matan tzara b'tzida. So Gavi / Rav Lichtenstein rejected assumption two, which is you can, right? It is not matan tzara b'tzida, right? The matan tzara b'tzida is about the attitude, not about the mitzvah of giving. And therefore you can coerce, right? Because you're coercing for the, to actually make them give, but not on the attitude, which is where the reward lies. Then there's a whole, but there's another approach, which is to saying, no, 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 you can't actually coerce. Now, the problem is our sugya says you can, and therefore what do you need to do? It's a different type of coercion, right? It's coercion, but not the coercion you're thinking of. Several answers and Tosas go in that direction, but now Ezra is weighing in on that methodological direction, right? So again, we have three types of answers, right? Ones that will challenge the assumption that we're actually talking about kviya, ones that will challenge the assumption that tzedakah actually falls in the category of matan tzara b'tzida, or three is one like the re that accept both answers and come, right, mibachutz, and say, we're taught, right, it's an exception, right? We will see other ones that will fall in category three, right? But Ezra is now throwing his hat into the ring with the claim that this isn't really kviya. Now, he makes the claim that maybe the only type of kofen that you can't do is the beating type, right? But maybe monetary one you can. Now, you want to say that what's the reason? Okay, so one is the possibility of reversibility, right? So, right, Ezra says maybe one reason to distinguish between monetary coercion and physical coercion is reversibility, right? I think that there's a lot to what Ezra is saying, but I think he can push it, I think you can push it even more. It's not just, there's something else here that's not just reversible that I think is very plausible here. Okay, so Ezra is saying, oh, and when once it comes to money, Bezdin has extended control. Okay. Good. Okay, but I think there's even one more reason why you might say that the issue here is more that monetary coercion might not break the rules here. What? Good. So the reason to believe that maybe the kfiya here just means kfiya by collateral, which we know you're allowed to do because that's what Gemara says, right? But give me a good reason why you might. And this, by the way, I think is just a tweak on who? Rabbeinu Tam. I think what Ezra is saying is essentially a tweak on Rabbeinu Tam. Right? Where Rabbeinu Tam says in answer one, that high kviya bidvarim kamo kviya. Right? So, and right, Tosafot just says the kviya we're talking about here is verbal coercion, meaning chastise them, bad. Good. So it may be verbal coercion. So it could be that Rabbeinu Tam means exactly what Ezra says, which is, since we already know that the Gemara said you're allowed to take his property, what it means is we take your property and yell at you until you agree to give tzedakah, but we don't actually beat you. Right? So it could be that Ezra is a variant on Rabbeinu Tam. It could be that Ezra is the same as Rabbeinu Tam. Right? But I think there's more to it. Right? I think it's not... I think there's a very good reason to say, let's say Ezra plus Rabbeinu Tam / Ezra is Rabbeinu Tam, not in the Gilgal sense, just in the position sense. I don't know if you're a reincarnation. I make no claims. But I think there is one more reason to I think there is something else which really pushes in the direction that Ezra is saying, and I think, and that is, yeah, meaning that the difference here is it's a monetary obligation. So, right, meaning what we're doing is we're taking the money and yelling at you until you agree that this money should be going to the poor people. It's not just about reversibility. It's that it's a monetary obligation where if we're allowed to take your money, and then, as Ravindranath says, we just keep yelling at you until you say, okay, 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 take the money and give it to Tzedaka. It's not that it's irreversible. It's that we are actually facilitating your performance of the mitzvah in a way that we couldn't if we grabbed your hands and made you shake a lulav, right? That's not, right? We can't do that in quite the same way, because if we're shaking your hands, we're shaking the lulav, right? Not you. But if we take your money and we yell at you, we agree, we are facilitating the performance of an actual monetary mitzvah, but that's not really coercion in the thing, in the sense of maybe that's where Rabbeinu Tam is getting at, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, done. What? I don't know if it's a second answer of any time. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, 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 okay. Let's be careful here. Whoa, 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 whoa. Ezra, let's be careful. What's the second answer of any time? Very good. So Rabbeinu Tam tells you, good. So Rabbeinu Tam, in his second answer, is Mechadesh what? So, okay. I want you to be careful, Yonatan. Good. So Rabbeinu Tam's second answer, okay, let's tell you what Rabbeinu Tam's second answer clearly is. According to Rabbeinu Tam, is our sugya about kofen al tzedakah? No. This has nothing to do with tzedakah, right? The fact that this is about tzedakah is accidental. It's accidental, right? And therefore, this teaches us nothing about tzedakah. Why are you able to be kofa in this case? Okay, see, Yonadan is running already to the tzedakah, right? Which is a very good person to be running to, but it's not what Rabbeinu Tam says, right? Rabbeinu, and I want to distinguish it. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? You happened to have agreed in this particular case, in this city, to agree to that this, right, the rules of this city were that anyone who lives here must accept the possibility they will be coerced to give tzedakah. What does he say? The hacha kiblu. Here, kiblu alem shekobu odem agabai. Here, they accepted that they should be forced. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam's second answer is, again, methodologically speaking, can you be kofal tzedakah or Rabbeinu Tam? And answer two? No. Is it Matan Schar Betzida? Yes. Is this thing here Kfiya? Yes. But like the Re, he says it's an exception. Why is it an exception? The Re says it's a fundamental exception to the nature of the mitzvah of Tzedakah. Rabbi Nutam says, no, it's an exception because, yeah, you agree, it would be like if, you know, everybody in, 49 was having trouble getting up for Shacharis. So you told Yudi, we agree to give you permission to beat us until we get out of bed, right? I might get sued for, you know, saying such a thing. But from a halachic perspective, right, from a halachic perspective, you would be within your rights. Yaakov's like, this is a terrible idea. And Achanami's a terrible idea. I didn't say it wasn't a terrible idea. I'm just saying theoretically. I don't know if I should, but now Yehonatan's mind is already jumping, and he says, Yehonatan says, wait. Yehonatan says, yeah. Rabbeinu Tam, Mechilat Kvo Taratcha. You're the smartest of all the Bali Atosvot. You're the sharpest of all. You introduced the entire methodology of distinctions. He is the father of Tosavis Bilpul. And you answered it with a technicality that in this particular city, they happen to have agreed that they could be coerced, right? There's a much better answer, which looks like that answer, but is 1,000 times more fundamental, right? That's what Yehonatan wants, is bursting to say. And what does Yehonatan want to say? Go, Yehonatan, what do you want to say? Well, that's even farther than I thought you were going to go, right? Okay, yeah. Actually, no, that's not fair. Okay, so Yehonatan says, well, wait a second. We've already seen the possibility that in certain cases, the commitment to give tzedakah means that the poor people already own it. So maybe you can say that the poor people own it, and therefore we're forcing them to give what's theirs. Now, Yehonatan, I'm going to give it back to you before Ezra. Ezra doesn't like it. So before Ezra challenges you, I'm going to give it back to Yehonatan, and I'm going to ask Yehonatan, you tell me what is weak about that answer. I think you overstated your claim. I think what you're saying is plausible, but you got to tweak it just a little bit. Yeah. Why? Okay, but spell it out why. So I would come at it from the opposite angle. But basically, I would say, look, when did we talk about that? Were you already committed to a specific poor person? So then they own it. But this is quite far. To say that conceptually, because I should be giving tzedakah, a specific amount of money is already owned by the aniyim, that's a little bit much, right? Because, yeah, if I really own the money, so, you know, right, this is not about coercion, all that mitzvah, this is not, right, that's not what this is about. But there are two ways that you could say what you said, slightly more modest, slightly less ambitious, right, which would sound very similar, right? What are they? I'll give it to you again. Take what you said and soften it just a little bit to not fall into the trap that Ezra just highlighted. Ezra, you want to attenuate his claim. What is it? Oh, like that's one of the main sugya that I didn't actually give you the Gemara inside. That's Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav. Okay, I think you're gonna have to look at Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav because now that you're asking about it. You'll have to look at it. So I'll leave that and let you see Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav. Okay. Okay, it looks like your brains are all working now to think about this. So I'm going to leave you then. I'm going to leave you, and I want you to think, so far what we've seen. Okay, again, I want to outline the methodological possibilities, okay? Remember, our Gemara says you forced by tzedakah. Tzedakah seems to be a matan tzar b'tzida, and you're not allowed to force for matan tzar b'tzida. There are three types of answers in this sugya. Those that say we're not really talking about coercion. Those that say staka really isn't a matam tzara betzida, or those that say that staka is indeed matam tzara betzida, but you can coerce, and within that, right, it's an exception. You can either have fundamental exceptions like the re, or localized technical exceptions like Rabbeinu Tam, right? The re said this is a unique type of mitzvah taseh because it has lo taseh to bolster it. And Rabbeinu Tam says, in this particular case, you happen to have committed to live in a city where they would use coercive measures to make you bake staka and or wake up for chakras. I mean, whatever, right? Just staka, right? But the answers that we will see could fall in each of these categories, but I will tell you the two that I didn't get you yet. I sent it to you now on the WhatsApp, but you haven't looked at yet, are the Ritva and the Ktsot, right? Both of them are going to fall in category 3, right? Of saying that maybe Tztaka is a Matan Tzara Betzida, but you can be Kofa, right? For reasons X, Y, and Z. One of them Yehonatan said earlier on that I thought he was going to bring as an answer, but he didn't. So he forgot apparently what he said, because it was a very good answer, and it's going to be the Ktsot, right? Which is what I've been driving into your head over and over again, which is that our sugya is more complicated than just being about staka. It's about something else, right? Very good. So I want you to flesh that out. That's what the Ktsot is going to do. And then the other answer, which is what Yehonatan almost went at, is in the Ritva, which has to do with, I will hint to you what it has to do with, right? We talked about it a little bit in Shir, but that is models of ethics, right? That there are different types of values in ethics. There are deontological values, there are virtue considerations, and there are utilitarian and consequentialist ones. I will leave that for you as the Ritva's answer, that the Ritva weighs in here that Matan Tzara Betzida applies to mitzvot that have a certain type of rationale behind the mitzvah. I will stop now. And our sugya, which is about coercion, is about another one of those pantheon of values that mitzvot might have. And the limitation on kviya is only on one of those types. Don't tell me what you think now. I want you to think in those philosophical terms and tell me what the Ritva means. Yonatan, you have the last word, but I have to cede the floor. Yeah. Well, what? Well, so that's what I thought you were saying. Was the Ktsot was saying that Rabbeinu Tam said in this city we happen to have committed, but you could have just gone half a step farther and said no. Correct, that this, it's not that you can coerce on staka, you can coerce on taxes, and sometimes things that look like staka are really taxes. In a nutshell, that's the Ktsot, but I want you to see the Ktsot inside. Thank you. That's what I thought you were saying, Yonatan, right? That's recognizing that our sugya isn't about staka pure, it's about social welfare, right? Where it straddles the line, as we already saw in the Rimigash and Reino Tam, between staka per se and taxes. Taxes are something, by definition, you can coerce for. Very good. So, Yonatan, you've been mechavin to the Ktsot. We'll have to see it inside on Sunday. So, read the Ktsot, and the Ritva is the philosophically minded one, and we still have one more answer in Tosfot alone, right? That at least brings us to seven, eight answers. I don't remember. I think there's 8 total, but okay.